Man, if you could turn with me, please, to get into our continued series called Pray Like This, Matthew 6 and Matthew 18, two places we're going to be tonight, Matthew 6, Matthew 18, Matthew 18, 21, we'll probably start there in a little bit, but we're going to start right at Matthew 6. We've been in what is known traditionally as the Lord's Prayer, and we're breaking this down more as the disciples' prayer, as we talked about even last week in Luke 11. Another picture of this prayer where Jesus was off, he was praying, he came back from praying, spending that one-on-one with the Father, in tune with the Father, crying out to the Father. He returned to his disciples after that one-on-one time, and the disciples were like, man, what is that? What? You got to teach us to pray like that. Whether they were in a stone's throw away, whether they could hear him crying out to the Father, whatever it was, they were so intrigued. This is after they've been spending time with Jesus. This is not the first time he goes off often and cries out. Finally, they said, what is it? You've got to teach us to pray like that. And then Jesus says this, pray this way or pray like this. This is our prayer. This is how we cry out to the Father. And this isn't to be in repetition. This isn't to be something that we just rip off our tongue in 30 seconds and call it good. This is something, gang, I hope that you are seeing this as we begin to break this thing apart verse by verse of the depth of this and how this can rearrange your prayer life, how this can rearrange your time before the Father. Man, you can go to livingouttruth.com and catch up on any of these messages and catch up to where we're at. And today, we're going to be in verse 12. But again, let's start in verse 9. Pray then this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Covered that last week. The absolute continued dependence upon God. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And man, we are trying to break this down in a manner of how we are to pray. This doesn't mean we just, because I mean, if you go through scripture, you don't see this repeated. You don't see where the disciples get down and they bring out the Our Father. You just don't see. You see this as a matter of how we're to pray, where Jesus brings us into that perfect prayer of how we're to cry out to God and our dependence upon Him. And here we are right here in verse 12. It says this, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Man, that just seems so easy to say. God, forgive us as we forgive others. Hey, let's move on. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But gang, please hear this. How easy is it really, honestly, to be able to forgive? Just as the Father has forgiven you. Come on, let's ask God to speak to us tonight. God, please. Father, please speak to us tonight. God, we come hungry for you. Father, I just believe that a word like this has the ability to heal. God, it can heal us spiritually. Father, it can heal us emotionally. God, it can heal us physically. Father, help us tonight to see the depths of this. God, help us tonight to really dig into this. God, that we would be set free tonight. Father, we come before you with an eye to see exactly what you would have us to see tonight. God, give us an ear to hear from you. Father, I'm asking that we would just open wide our hearts to respond to you tonight. Now, folks, please, please ask God tonight. God, speak to me in this. God, I need healing tonight. Father, help me to see this tonight the way I need to see it. And I'll respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Gang, I need you to be present here in this. I need you to clue in to this because I believe that this is. When I do relationship counseling, when I do team counseling, when I talk about unity, when I talk about relationships, whether it is husband or wife or brother and brother or sister and sister or whatever relationship, whether it's a team such as the Believer's Chapel staff and the Believer's Chapel team, man, this is one of those foundation blocks that has got to be covered anytime you're dealing deep in relationships. You have to have love, and then that branches out. Okay, you have to have honor and what it is to really hold one another in that place of value, and then that branches out. And you have to have trust. Just the depth of what it is to completely rely and trust in somebody. And can I say this, please, that out of all of them, you will love somebody faster than you will trust them when that relationship falls apart. It'll be easier to love them than to trust them when something goes wrong. Please understand that. And then we have the fourth foundation. And these are not really in any order, but it's forgiveness. In any relationship, friends, husbands or wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, co-workers, in any relationship, folks, if we don't understand forgiveness, that relationship can only go so far, so long. And can I just please say this? Because I say this often when I talk about trust or I talk about relation or forgiveness, these are not the same. Please understand something. I can forgive you, but I'm probably not going to trust you all that quick. I'm supposed to forgive you when you ask me. Even so, before that. But please don't mess this up and say, well, I came to you and I asked you to forgive me and you said that you forgave me. Now, why don't you trust me? Because they are two different scales. They're on complete two different levels. You see where we confess our sin to Him and He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God is going to forgive us. But we also see so many times in Scripture that God doesn't trust until trust is earned and proven. Huge difference. Huge difference. So when we're talking about forgiveness, because this has to do with being healed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Because sometimes we screw these two up where we understand what it is to forgive, but then we buy into a lie that we're supposed to jump right back in and fully trust. And that's when we get damaged again. And that's where we keep getting hit. And that's where we keep getting punched. That's where we keep getting ruined. That's where we keep getting broken. Because we mix these two up. This is so important. And when he says this, that we are, and I believe, coming right off of verse 11, remember how these all are tied in together, man. This is like one breath. It depends on how long-winded you are. Maybe three breaths that you can really talk through this prayer. Where it is specific to our Father. Remember that when we're talking about forgiveness, it's talking about us in a father-son capacity for me, or a father-daughter capacity for a female, where you're coming to Him as a father, asking Him to forgive you. Father, forgive me. And He says, give us this day our daily bread. Folks, I believe that this is something that is to be repeated where you and I can go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me today. And man, Albat is a very close friend of mine. He's a pastor here locally. He meets me every Sunday morning, bright and early here. We pray, we laugh. I make fun of him because he's 400 years old. It's awesome. He's actually going to be preaching here very soon. And he has told me over and over and over, every time I bring up the word forgiveness, he always says, Sean, keep short accounts. Told me that this, I'm telling him what I'm preaching. He says, Sean, keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. When somebody has wronged you, keep it short account. Don't go become a historian and go into the past and say, well, you did this and you did that and you did this and you did that. He says, you keep short accounts. Hey, aren't you glad that when we come to the Father, He keeps short accounts? And He tells us, and forgive us our debts. I mean, I want you to see the definition of forgive, because when you understand the definition of it, you understand a little deeper. This is what this word means. It means to let go, or to send away, or to lay aside, or to release, or to abandon, or to let pass. This is what forgive. Father, forgive me. God, that you would abandon this. God, that you would release this, and God, that you would let this pass, and God, that you would lay it aside, that God, you would send it away. Father, that you would let go of my debt. Again, when you begin to define the word debt, this is something that is so deep that it is unpayable. That's our debt to the Father, something that we absolutely have nothing to offer a holy, perfect, pure God. But yet asking him to forgive a debt that we cannot forgive ourselves. And when you get the depth of this, you begin to understand. Again, we got to understand this, because on a human level, how many times do we try to earn forgiveness? We base it on good behavior. Well, I know I did wrong, but man, I have been so good. Man, I should get points for good behavior. Have you seen my tithe lately? I should get points for my giving. Have you seen church attendance? Man, I haven't missed. Bingo, like you get a gold star for attendance, and therefore God should forgive us based on our good behavior. You know what that does, folks? That absolutely kills and cheapens the blood that was shed for our forgiveness, because we actually think we can do something on our own to earn his forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says this. To him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. What? How is it that we are forgiven? According to what? According to the riches of his grace. The word grace there is his unmerited favor, his kindness. Gang, it has absolutely nothing to do with us except for our confession. We have to come to a place to confess our sin, and he is right and just to forgive us our sin. He is faithful, loyal, and true, and righteous and just. That's what that means, to forgive us, to release the debt, to let it pass, to abandon our debt, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a responsibility to confess, realizing we're not confessing based on our good behavior. But we're coming before him according to his grace and his kindness and his mercy. For we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of his grace. So what happens when we come to a place when it's our turn to forgive someone else? Do we make them earn it? A serious question. Because we need to come to a place to say, God, I want to be healed. There's so much. When we walk in a place of holding unforgiveness, we walk into a place of not allowing ourselves to forgive another. That kills you, man. That takes you out of the game. That begins to bring pressure and cancer upon you because you're holding something in. Until they earn my forgiveness. No, they've got to earn your trust. Don't mess up the two here. They earn your trust, but forgiveness is freely given. We can't miss that. And when you understand this, that in the same manner as God has forgiven me. Now listen, when you understand this, this doesn't make it easy, folks. Don't think, it's just easy, I'll just forgive. No, but in the same manner as God has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. I want to show you this. Come on, verse 14, right here, Matthew 6, 14. And when you begin to understand, there are things that God won't do. There are things that God won't do. And this is one of those things that you've got to really get grips, because this is a huge deal in Scripture. This is a huge idea according to the one who's given us the Word of God, that we may know and understand Him. This is a big deal to God. This thing of forgiveness and this thing of forgiving others. Because this is what he says in verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, that's good news. If I forgive him, then praise the God Almighty, he is going to forgive me. And we stop there because we love the good news of Scripture. But verse 15 continues, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. Do you hear that? God just said he won't do something for you. Because he says, listen, if you don't forgive others, My hands are tied. If you don't release others their debts and their transgressions, if you don't release others or let things pass, if you hold on to that grudge, that and you become bitter and you become angry, and every time you see that person, you growl because you really haven't let it go. You really, now listen, come on, that's the real litmus test. When somebody has offended you and there is a place that there has been lines that have been crossed or something is, then you know that you are supposed to forgive them for that transgression. And you come to this wimpy little thing, say, oh, sure, I forgive you. But every time you see him, you're like, argh. Gang, is that, honestly, has there really been that release? Or is there something still deep down in that you hold on to that grudge? How are you ever going to walk healed? And your emotion continues to get tied up. Isn't it amazing? That thing just begins to grow like cancer, and it begins bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger until your unforgiveness begins to control and own you to a point where you become sick spiritually, you become sick emotionally, and you become sick physically because you really haven't let it pass. In the same way, the Father has forgiven you. Colossians 2 says this. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Listen, we were dead in a debt that we couldn't pay. But because of him, we were been made alive. Doing how? Having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the degree that was against us, which was hostile towards us, that he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Isn't it amazing that because of Jesus, our debt has been canceled and the Father has forgiven us? It is a debt that is canceled, folks. How is it that you look at it when somebody wrongs you, or you come to a place to hold on to bitterness, you come to a place to hold on to a grudge, and you understand what it is to not forgive somebody? Where you still keep those notes, where that debt really hasn't been completely canceled. Wouldn't it be awful? You went to the bank and you paid off a note, you paid off a debt. Yet there's a little piece, then you paid it in full. But there's a little piece that they still held on to. Well, that wouldn't be fair, would it? Isn't it amazing that our complete certificate of debt was canceled, forgiven? Then he says this, but if you do not forgive others, if you do not release others, if you do not let it pass, then your Father will not forgive you. This is a big deal. Honestly, this is why I believe so many struggle with such deep emotional pain that turns into physical pain. And then they begin to see their spiritual walk begin to deteriorate because they have held something so down deep in, and there has not been that true release of forgiveness. And the big question is, who does that really hurt, you or them? Honestly, who does that really hurt? You or them? So when we understand the depth of forgiveness, it is for us. That I am going to forgive you and I'm going to release you. Isn't it amazing? This amazing story in Luke 15, where you've got the prodigal son and you've got this amazing picture that Jesus tells a story about a father who is our father, who is God, and a son who is a son, but yet he wandered. And son went, you know the story, the son went through all kind of crazy, all kind of sin, lost everything that the father gave him, walked into the absolute pit of sin. So much so that he was coming to a place close to death where he said, listen, I can go home and just work for my dad and be better than this. Not as a son, but as a hired hand, just a servant. And he's as he's approaching home, this is going through, you can read this in Luke 15, this is going through his mind as he's beginning to plan out what he's going to say to his father. Man, I have sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. I am not even worthy to be your son. You know what that is? In his mindset, he's had it made up that I am unforgivable. Don't miss this, please. The son, on his approach, talked himself into being unforgivable. Man, all I've done, I'm not even worthy to be his son. And he's rehearsing this. Man, I'm unforgivable. So much so, I'm not even worthy to be his son. And as he just starts down this long driveway, the Bible says that the father begins to see and recognize it's his son and begins to tear out after him. And he begins his speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you, and I'm not even worthy to be your son. Isn't it amazing? The father doesn't respond. He says, bring out the fatted calf, bring out the robe, bring out the ring. And just in a sense of, I don't understand what you're talking about, son. You are forgiven. And I could get a sense, honestly, I believe this, I could get a sense that the father is looking for his son's return. Wouldn't it be amazing? I'd love it if we could come to a place to understand where the father may have thought, son, on that day that you walked out of this driveway, you were forgiven before you reached the end on your way out. For I had already forgiven you. And I have just been waiting for your return. You will always be my son. Okay, how many times do we come to a place before our Father? Say, I'm not even worthy to be called a Christian. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to be called your daughter. And you convince yourself, man, I am unforgivable. What'd you just do there? You just cheapened the blood of Christ. Until you realize that the blood of Christ has covered all of your sin. For if we confess, he is righteous and just to forgive, to release, to abandon. I love that word. He abandons our sin. Jeremiah 31, 34 says that he remembers our sin no more. And don't mess up this word. This word remember, it means that he won't bring it back to his memory. He's not going to bring up that record. He's not going to bring that thing back from the past. He's not going to give thought. It has been abandoned, folks. Wouldn't that be amazing? If we understood the depth of forgiveness. You and I come to a place when we cry out, our Father who is in heaven, forgive me of my debt. Abandon me, release me. Let it pass from my sin. Because I want to show you something in Matthew 18, please. I want to show you this. Because again, this is another story that Jesus tells. And it speaks directly to this. And gang, let me just say this. When you understand the depth of your forgiveness, when you understand all that we have been forgiven from a debt that was unpayable, when you really understand that, and then when the Father says you ought to forgive others the same way I forgave you, when you know that depth of how he has forgiven us, there's no one that can wrong us more than we have wronged him in our sin. No one. So when I understand the depth of his forgiveness for me, how can I not forgive others who've sinned against me? How can I not? When I know how the debt that I owed that was released and paid, how can I not release them? That's what this says. That's what this says. Come on, Matthew 18, verse 21. You've got the disciples, they're talking with Jesus, and Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how? Now look at this. This is funny here. I love this. Peter, who's awesome in many ways, and we know that he's got loose lips many times, and he just speaks what he thinks. Many times he shouldn't, but he does. And then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he asked this question, up to seven times. Like, God, like on the eighth time, can I punch him, God? I mean, this is, He just whips out seven, got up to seven times because John's at about seven and God, I want to clock him. I mean, this is, we're close. I mean, I don't know what the beef was, but somewhere he came up. I'm guessing that one of the disciples was close to that seven mark and he's looking for permission on the eighth to deal with this. I mean, to really end up going, okay, we're going to town on this. And this is what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, I do not say up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's 490. And he comes to this place, folks. And it's amazing because we see in Luke 17 where this account is. And he even says, listen, Jesus says, if somebody comes to you seven times a day, the same thing, seven times a day, and asks for your forgiveness, he says, you forgive them seven times a day. If they come and they repent, seven times a day, that's per day, then you're supposed to forgive them. And you could read this in Luke 17. You know what the disciples' response is from this? I mean, could you imagine this conversation where they're asking about this whole seven thing and, you know, where's that limit, man? What's the cutoff number for forgiveness? And Jesus says, you know, they're asking Jesus, hey, listen, what's the cutoff number? Is seven a good number? I know that's supposed to be a holy number. What about seven? Is that a good, on the eighth, can we do something? And Jesus says, listen, man, it is way past seven. It is seven times 70. What's Jesus saying? It is a continual number. Matter of fact, if they came for the same thing and repented seven times a day, you need to forgive them seven times. And I could see the disciples talking about this thing going, wow, that's, and then the next day, Luke 17, they come back to Jesus and say, well, you need to increase our faith. Put those things together. Like if I'm supposed to again and again and again and again and again forgive. Don't mess this up with trust, folks. This is forgive. Forgiveness does not make you a doormat. Please hear that. But here they heard this from Jesus. Man, this isn't a number. This is a matter of the heart that you're supposed to forgive. The very next thing they said was then increase our faith. Isn't that amazing that the level of our forgiveness is attached to the level of our faith? And they say that faith level, if I'm really going to walk in an understanding of that level of forgiveness, I need a different level of faith. That's powerful. Look at this in Matthew 18. Verse 22, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents. Okay, 10,000, this is a debt. Father, forgive us of our debt. And when you understand debt, this is where this comes from, 10,000 talents. One talent, folks, was 15 years worth of wage. This was the weight of this. When you had the weight of one talent, of finances, so to speak, in their day, their currency. One talent was equal to 15 years. So 10,000 talents is 150,000 years wage. Not 150 years wage, because some on their absolute best lifetime could hit that, but 150,000 years wages. What Jesus is saying here is this is a debt that is unpayable, impossible, unable to pay back. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife, children, and all that he had for repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, folks, this is all about forgiveness. Have patience with me and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion. Again, this is speaking of our Father. Have compassion and released him to free him. He let it go and he forgave him that debt. That's the same word in Father, forgive us of our debt. Same word. That is a debt that is an unpayable debt. And here the slave comes and begs him, asks him to forgive him. And he says, I have released you. I have forgiven you of a debt that you could never pay back. But then this slave, verse 28, goes out and found the fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii was one day wage, folks. That's 100 days' wage. All of us could make that up eventually if we live longer than 100 days. 100 days compared to 150,000 years. The scale, I mean, how do you compare the two? This one owned a debt that was impossible, never could be paid back, compared to one that owed him a debt that could easily be paid back. Are you getting this? Where our debt to the Father is one that could be never, ever paid back, compared to those who may sin against us. So how is it that when you understand the Father has forgiven us because of His great grace, a debt that we could never pay, how is it that we do not forgive those who've sinned against us? Because the story goes on to say that this one would not release this simple debt, knowing that he just came from this amazing grace. The Bible says that the Lord heard about this, his master heard about this, brought him back under judgment. The Bible says that he came back into a place of torment. How serious do you think God is about us not forgiving another? Ephesians 4:32 says this. Be kind to one another. This is an amazing pattern. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving each other. How? Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us as we have. Isn't that amazing? Father, I'm coming to you and asking that you would forgive me. Because I have already forgiven those who've trespassed against me. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. But God says, if you don't forgive, then I can't forgive. Folks, and I believe that this is, man, we are asking God that there would truly be healing to take place. When you understand what it is, biblically, to release, to let go, to abandon. When someone has sinned against you. I don't know if that's a business partner. I don't know if that's a husband. I don't know if that's a wife. I don't know if that's a brother or a sister. I don't know if that's a friend. Wouldn't it be amazing if we were in such a spiritual place that when, get this, when someone wrongs us, that we keep such a short account that by the time they turn around and leave our sight, in our hearts, we have forgiven them. And what is it when we come to the Father and say, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm unforgivable. We can convince ourselves of this. I'm unforgivable. And amazing that I believe the Father just ignores our stupidity. And he clothes us with the blood of his son, which has cleansed us from all sin, which was payment for our redemption to be back with him. That when we hold such short accounts, and that we know that we have sinned against God, that we would be so quick to turn. Father, forgive me. The Bible says he will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And in that, gang, there is freedom in that. But tonight, I just want to ask you a question. Are you stuck in unforgiveness for another? Come on, are you stuck in unforgiveness for another? God takes this so seriously. And I beg that we would as well. Are you holding a grudge against another? Is it a family member? Is it a wife? Is it a husband? Business partner? Somebody you work with? Somebody who's wronged you? Maybe they don't even know that they've wronged you. Well, that's not fair. Come on, are you holding on to unforgiveness? Because I got to ask you, who does that affect? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So the question is, well, how do I let it go? How is it that I release it the same way God did? God says he put it behind him. Isaiah tells us God said he puts our sin behind him. In other words, he moves on from it and he leaves it behind and he walks away from it. That's what the Bible says. And that you would come to a place to allow God to begin to do a spiritual work in you where you begin to be healed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Because you can release that unforgiveness. Is it a son? Is it a daughter? Is it a brother? Is it a sister? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? Is it a friend? Or you've held on to a grudge. Father, please, please, God, tonight, that we see in your word so plainly and so clearly, Father, that you will forgive us, but we must forgive others. We must release others of that debt. God, that we would cancel that certificate of debt just as you canceled the certificate of debt against us. God, we will not hold it over their heads any longer. God, we'll honestly release them. We'll forgive them. And we'll cancel that debt. We'll cancel that debt that has held us in bondage. Father, please. And I ask that we would begin a process of healing. We begin a process, God, in our spirits to be healed. God, that our emotions would become back to a place to being strong again. God, that we would learn even tonight, just if one thing, God, that we would keep short accounts. If it's a husband and wife and there's unforgiveness, God, it would be a quick deal, God. It would be a quick turnaround, Father. It would be a quick repentance, God. It would be a quick, I'm sorry. It would be a quick, I'm forgive or forgive me. It would be a quick, you're forgiven. And God, it would be released and it would be put behind. And God, it would come to a place not to be brought up again. God, that it would be a quick account, God. God, that we would keep short accounts. Father, we learn not to hold on, just as you have, Father. We follow your pattern in this and how you have forgiven us. Man, tonight, please cry out to God in a sense of knowing, God, I am worthy to be forgiven. You have forgiven me, and it's proven by Jesus in the blood. I am your son. I am your daughter. Our Father. This is us crying out to our Father for forgiveness. But man, that you would come to a place tonight for anyone who has cast debt against you or has a trespass against you or has done you wrong, that tonight, honestly, you let that go, that you abandon that you forgive them. You walk into a place to be free and that you begin to ask the Father for healing from that thing which has held you captive. God, I thank you for this tonight. God, thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.